Hi, everybody. We are going to go into Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 18, and we are talking about the creative hierarchies, a vast subject. I think it will take quite a few of our little one-hour tapes. Well, they're not tapes anymore, are they? They are electronic programs. We spoke about the function, the dual function of the creative hierarchies, that they have a dual intermediary work, that they are mediators between spirit and matter, just the way the solar angels are, and as well that they are transmitters of force from sources extraneous to the solar system, such as the zodiacal constellations and also perhaps some of the greater constellations, and the rays, which are emanating from the seven stars for practical purposes of the Big Dipper, extraneous to the solar system, to forms within the solar system. They are building the forms of expression for themselves, for monads higher than themselves, and also they are aggregating around themselves those forms related to monads that are of lesser unfoldment than they are in most cases. Each of these groups of beings is likewise septenary in nature, and the 49 fires of Brahma are the lowest manifestation of their fiery nature. The septenary assignment to the hierarchies relates to their levels of form. Within every hierarchy there are seven levels of form. There are nine levels of consciousness. The 49 fires of Brahma are burning on the 49 subplanes of the cosmic physical plane. The 49 fires are related to the third aspect particularly. There are seven great Brahmic Phohatic fires. There are seven ray fires. And there are seven fires of the spirits of darkness, making 21 in all. And each one of these seven is 49-fold, making 147 altogether, and plus three for each of the major seven groupings, which will bring us to 150 or 15, which is a Kumaric number. Each of these hierarchies, which are in the manifested group, can be regarded as fallen in the cosmic sense, because they have, in a way, fallen onto the cosmic physical plane, or are involved in their work within that lowest plane. It says, because they are involved in the building process, or the occupiers of forms of some degree of density or another. This means that the all of these hierarchies, and so many of them are very subtle with respect to the human perspective, all of them can be regarded as fallen, because working on the lowest of the cosmic planes, but particularly the hierarchies number 10, 11, and 12 have to be regarded as fallen, because they are working within the dense physical body of the solar logos. So they are working on the very lowest level of the cosmic physical plane, the lowest three levels in the dense physical body of the logos. And the solar angels, particularly, are fallen angels, but they are fallen because of sacrifice. They are fallen into the levels which they have long ago transcended. They are Prometheus, bringing the fire of mind and of love and of will to animal man, and in order to do that, they had to fall by choice into the dense physical body of the solar logos, though not necessarily the dense physical body of the planetary logos. Okay. They are involved in the building process and occupiers of form of some degree of density or another. Well, even on the cosmic etheric planes, we can speak of density. Now the question is, can we, once we reach the higher cosmic planes, speak in terms of density? From our perspective, it would seem that we could, although we know nothing of the material conditions on those particular planes, if they are material conditions. We only know that the one being of all cosmos is variously veiled on each one of the systemic subplanes and on the cosmic subplanes. And as we move higher and higher and more into an interior position, these veils are lifted. And the veils themselves are responsible for certain degrees of density. So I suppose until we reach the very highest universal plane, whereon the universal logos in his highest aspect is focused, that there will always be what we can at least metaphorically call degrees of density, even though we don't know anything about the material conditions on the higher cosmic planes, higher than the cosmic physical plane. We do know, however, that if we look at this particular, which one is it? This particular map, that the entire seven cosmic subplanes are really the super cosmic etheric physical plane. This whole thing is a physical plane, an etheric physical plane from the super cosmic perspective. Just as our own solar angel will have a monad that is probably on the cosmic astral plane, so the solar angel, the vast solar angel that provides the egoic lotus of the solar logos, will have a monad on the supercosmic astral plane, above the supercosmic etheric and physical, and on it goes. So, you know, we can only think in terms of matter energy, and it's difficult for us to, it is impossible for us to conceive of planes in which there are non-prakritic conditions, non-material conditions. All forms and all fields are made of the energies of matter as far as we are concerned, and even on our highest subplane of the cosmic physical plane, we have these tiny bubbles in the koilon, which are the constituents of the fundamental atoms found on all the various systemic planes and subplanes. So we really only think in terms of matter, substance, energy, force. Do such conditions of matter, substance, energy, force exist on the other cosmic planes? This is impossible for us to answer at the present moment. Okay, moving right along. This is number 18, and we are, where are we starting? Page 38, I do believe, and see if we can make another two pages here. We are now beginning the description of the various hierarchies. We are focusing on them particularly. We've been focusing on them in a loose kind of way. Yes, we are on page 38. Okay. Hierarchy number one. Okay, we are not speaking now of the liberated hierarchies. We are speaking of those hierarchies which are considered manifested. The first great hierarchy is emanated from the heart of the central spiritual sun. Now, is this the same as the heart of the sun, or is this found in some way on the cosmic monadic plane? Usually we hear the term heart of the sun, and we do not hear of the heart of the central spiritual sun, but in a way, the egoic lotus is said to be the heart center of the monad, so perhaps the solar logoic egoic lotus is the heart center of that great solar logoic monad. So I would be content for the moment with thinking of this as the egoic lotus of the solar logos, or his soul nature upon the higher cosmic mental plane. I think that would be a reasonable way of thinking about it. And of course, this particular creative hierarchy is ruled by the sign Leo, which definitely connects it, we see, with the idea of the egoic lotus and with the sense of the sun. The sun and Leo are very correlated. So to have a Leonian hierarchy emanating from the heart of the central spiritual sun makes a lot of sense. It is the Son of God himself, the firstborn in a cosmic sense, at least the firstborn on the cosmic physical plane, the firstborn of the hierarchies which are found upon the cosmic physical plane. And one begins to wonder whether, in terms of emanative process, the way these hierarchies emerge will be the most powerful first, followed by those of secondary power, tertiary, quaternary, and so forth, until we find emanations of those lowest of the creative hierarchies. So he is the firstborn, it is the firstborn in a cosmic sense, even as the Christ was the eldest in a vast family of brothers and the first flower on the human plant. Well, I think we can see here that there is something of the Christ nature in this great hierarchy, but perhaps we are dealing with an expression of the cosmic Christ. And by the cosmic Christ, what will we mean? Probably the soul nature of our solar logos. The symbol of this hierarchy is the golden lotus with its 12 petals folded. So they have to be unfolded, I imagine, in the course of a solar logoic development. And perhaps when our solar logos is completely unfolded in terms of his task to be undertaken in this second major solar system, perhaps these 12 petals will be completely unfolded. Notice the higher correspondence to the 12-petaled egoic lotus. This must definitely be connected with a 12-petaled heart center. Sometimes the heart center of the solar logos is said to be 12-petaled. Now, it depends on what heart center we're talking about. From an etheric point of view, there is probably a solar logoic heart center to be found on the second cosmic ether, the monadic plane. There is also a kind of heart center to be found on the cosmic higher mental plane. But then the question arises, is the egoic lotus of the solar logos 12-fold, which sometimes it seems to be described as being, or is it 21-fold, with seven circles or tiers of three petals each, the second tier of which is said to be influential in relation to the spiritual hierarchy. But there's definitely strong Christ imagery here. There is the sense that Shambhala, where this hierarchy is expressing itself, is the seat of love eternal, the deepest form of love that can be expressed upon the cosmic physical plane. So we will keep this idea of the heart of the sun, the solar logoic egoic lotus, the solar logoic causal body, and the relationship of these forces on the cosmic higher mental plane to this hierarchy of divine flames, divine lives, perhaps having this type of light which is called roaring orange light. The supreme energy in terms of the cosmic physical plane is found here. And we have both fire and air. Obviously, it is the sea of fire, but it's the highest of the ethers, and the ethers are associated with air because the ethers, we know, are called vital airs. So we think of Sanat Kumara as the king of Shambhala. We think of the the sign Leo as the royal sign. We don't know how it would work out, but we can see that these great divine flames would be very suitable within the precincts of Shambhala. One of the things possibly to be done here is to look at the Western classification of angels and to see on what levels some of these angels might be placed. One of the highest forms of angels are seraphim, and they are very fiery beings. We want to know whether the terminology in this tabulation here can be related to some of the Western terminology. Seraphim, cherubim, archangels of a lower kind, because planets themselves, planetary logoi, are in a way archangels. Anyway, fire and air because of the cosmic etheric nature, and fire because this is that state of matter which is called the sea of fire. And yet patterns of consummate beauty can be found within Shambhala, so I don't think we should think of this as a chaotic realm. There are great causal forms that are found on the logoic plane. It is a causal plane in an ultimate sense, and perhaps these divine flames, the divine lives, are participating in the creation of these great patterns. We sometimes think of the monad as a spark of the eternal flame hanging by the finest thread of Fohat. Perhaps the eternal flame, the love eternal, can be found on this high level of the logoic plane and is related to this hierarchy of divine flames. Well, you know, this is a hierarchy into the presence of which we will not ascend until beyond that stage when we are a conscious and liberated monad of the sixth initiation. When we undergo the breaking or the shattering of the monadic vehicle, the Temple of Ezekiel, and when the volatile essence of pure spirit is released into yet another planar container, then we may encounter, as we begin to take the seventh initiation, the nature of these lives. At the same time, it depends on when we do this. It depends on when we do this, because before long, another group that we might encounter, the fifth creative hierarchy, which is still focused on the logoic plane, might have moved on. Okay. Now, what I think we're going to have to do is bring out these symbols all together when we have completed the discussion and see if there is more that we can extract from the symbols when grouped together. They obviously require a deep penetrating intuition to fathom them. The folded petals, and they are golden, in accordance with Leo, of this particular hierarchy, suggest that unfoldment is required. And I would say that when divine purpose in the solar logoic sense is executed in terms of this particular incarnation of the solar logos, this solar system, we can perhaps expect an unfoldment of these petals. I cannot see how they would remain forever folded. It should be remembered, says the Tibetan, that this hierarchy is literally the sixth, for five hierarchies have passed on, or we would add, almost passed on, being the product of the, there we go again, they are the product of the earlier system. In other words, let us say at least, they have achieved greatly in the earlier system and have achieved liberation from the cosmic physical plane in that earlier system, except for creative hierarchy 5. They are the product of an earlier system, that wherein intelligence or manas was the goal. Well, 5 is the number of manas, and so it fits very well that 5 hierarchies will have achieved. 5 is the number of manas, and so 5 have achieved, or almost so. We wonder about the time scale and how long it will be before there is the liberation of the fifth hierarchy. Will this mean, here's a possibility, that when our solar logos is really coming to the fruition of his purpose, and earlier we were told when the sixth creative hierarchy, which is the first manifested, is reaching a higher state of development because of the solar logoic unfoldment, then the fifth creative hierarchy will be released fully onto the cosmic astral plane. Yeah, and this, it will be fully released into its Christ nature, because our solar logos will have become a more completed Christ. He will have taken either the fourth or the fifth initiation, which means that he will be fully a cosmic soul, which we cannot yet say that he is, since he has only taken the second cosmic initiation. At least this is my speculation as to the release of the fifth creative hierarchy. So we have the 5 Kumaras, we have Manas, we have the idea that Manas was highly developed, intelligence or Manas was highly developed, and that whatever the cosmic physical plane consisted of at that time, did it consist of 5 planes? Was it 7 planes? There was a release from the cosmic physical plane of the time, at least for 4 of these hierarchies, and when this solar system came into expression, they were already focusing on the cosmic astral plane. This is how it seems to me. The 5 liberated hierarchies are in their totality the sum total of Manus. Well, okay, Manus in relation to what plane? Let's see, Manus, in relation to the cosmic physical plane, I suspect. Because if we go higher and we go onto the cosmic mental plane, we find that Manus definitely exists on that plane. The mental body of the Logoi are found on the cosmic mental plane, and we are talking about hierarchies who have their expression on the cosmic astral plane. Of course, we don't know where their monads are found. That is a very tricky question because on each of the cosmic planes, on the second level of each of the cosmic planes, there can be found a home for different types of monads. And so perhaps there are monadic focuses for these hierarchies on the second level of the cosmic mental plane. That is possible. And maybe on each one of the cosmic planes, that second subplane is a home for monads of different types of liberation. Okay, the five liberated hierarchies are in their totality the sum total of Manus. At least we look towards their monastic effect on the cosmic physical plane. It is the hierarchy which is the fifth in order. This is the one we've been discussing so much, and which we are told is in process of achieving final liberation, because it's already achieved a degree of liberation and seems at least to be partially active in relation to the cosmic astral plane. Aha! Or taking its fourth initiation, which is the cause of certain phenomena upon our planet, which has merited our planet being called the Star of Suffering. We are graduates of painful endeavor. We are on a planet of sorrow, purifying sorrow and pain. Releasing sorrow and purifying pain. I think that's how it's called. Or is it? Yeah, I think it's called that. So, okay. They are the final liberation is considered a fourth initiation for this particular hierarchy. Well, for us, that's not the final liberation. When we take a fourth initiation, we are simply being liberated from the three lower worlds. But maybe what the three lower worlds are to a human being, the seven solar or systemic planes are to the members of this fifth creative hierarchy. So it's very interesting to see the term final liberation related to the fourth initiation. And since these the members of this fifth creative hierarchy are connected to our solar angels, who are to us as karmic lords, holding us in servitude in the lower planes, we can see that there is a connection here between the suffering of these higher beings, the fourth initiation which our planetary logos is taking, and the suffering of the fourth kingdom or fourth creative hierarchy, humanity. So, excuse me, let us relate the different types of suffering in relation to the fourth initiation. The planetary logos is undergoing a type of fourth initiation. The creative hierarchy 5 is also in the process of a fourth initiation, and the human kingdom is the fourth kingdom. The fourth kingdom is suffering and slowly moving towards its liberation at the fourth initiation, liberation from the the dense levels of the cosmic physical plane. So this is very interesting that the fourth initiation, which they are undergoing, this fifth creative hierarchy, is the cause of that process of being rent from matter. Now, this is interesting. We want to ask, is there a Sirian connection to this Cancerian hierarchy, Cancerian creative hierarchy? Because Sirius is a star which is connected with the solar angels, and therefore it would be connected with this monastic hierarchy, it being the great star of Manus. This monastic hierarchy being sort of a higher correspondence to the solar angels. The cause of suffering is given by the Tibetan when discussing in the rays and the initiations the fourth path of pain, which is the fourth purpose of Sanakumara, and it has a lot to do with the conscious recognition through mind of what is happening. So we see the factor of Manus involved in suffering. There is a conscious suffering going on. This is different from the animal suffering, which is experienced but not as if from a center of consciousness. Okay, so I have found this very interesting, that this group, taking its fourth initiation, is the cause of the rending process, because suffering is always dealing with duality. This particular group has a lot of duality connected with it, because they are partially focused on the cosmic astral plane and partially focused on the cosmic physical plane. And they seem to, their attempt to rise out of cosmic physicality seems to be inducing an attempt of humanity, the fourth creative hierarchy, to rise out of dense systemic physicality, the physicality of the cosmic, physicality of the cosmic dense levels, the dense physical body of the solar logos. Well, these things get pretty profound, and of course, this is, in a way, the most abstract section of this treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 3, because, after all, this section is taken directly from Cosmic Fire, the Tibetan thinking. I think it would be a very good idea for us to have these cosmic relations in mind before we venture into the particulars of esoteric astrology. So people are so interested in the particulars, and it all boils down to, well, what's happening to me, to the illusory me. We all want to know what's happening to us, as if we were a real and enduring center somehow. But really, we're asking to know what's happening to a kind of false ego, because we have not achieved that sense of unity and identification which comes with the higher initiation. So later we'll be much more interested in what's happening to the group, of which I am a small but integral part, and what's happening to the whole, to the planetary whole. So this this question of the egoistic use of astrology is being countered by the Tibetan, as he gives us such a vast view of what's really happening. There is a karmic link between the animal kingdom and the fifth creative hierarchy of the earlier system. Now, is that the same as the fifth creative hierarchy of this system? Did the hierarchy's number change in the movement from the previous solar system to this system? Anyway, this this link between the was it a Cancerian hierarchy in the earlier system? Because, well, you see, that's the thing. That's very interesting. The fifth creative hierarchy in an earlier system, that's a hint because the liberated hierarchies are not of the solar system per se. When a hierarchy is of a system, it's found on the cosmic physical plane. So anyway, we'll take it at face value. There is a link between the animal kingdom and the fifth creative hierarchy of the early system, which makes itself felt in man, in the necessary crucifixion of the animal physical nature. This is very interesting because the animal physical nature is the dense physical body with which cancer is associated. And this is particularly along sex lines. I think even the process of birth is a kind of crucifixion. We are told that in the secret doctrine that pain accompanying birth is not necessarily a natural condition, it is a karmic condition where humanity is concerned. We must remember that the hierarchies work under the law of attraction. They are gathering specific forms and fields around them. It is the law of the builders. They are all builders of form of various kind of density. So what we have here is the need to be liberated from the fourfold into the fivefold. The animal nature of man is basically the personality nature, ruled in a sense by Mars, the planet of animality, and it has to rise into the fifth kingdom, but it can only do so through that rending process which we call crucifixion. But until we know whether we are speaking of the fifth creative hierarchy on the cosmic astral plane, or whether we are speaking of a different fifth creative hierarchy, which now has a different number, we cannot be sure. But let's just say that when you look at a cross, we must rise off the cross. We must be liberated from the cross. This can only be done by entering into the fifth or spiritual kingdom, and this can only be done at least in our systems by a painful process of crucifixion, where the desire nature is completely confined and only love will raise a man off the cross into the fifth kingdom. So let's just, we've learned something about this fifth creative hierarchy and the factor of human suffering. We're also learning something about a fifth creative hierarchy of the earlier system and the suffering of the animal physical nature in this solar system. The number five always, from one perspective, supersedes the number four. The soul, which is the member of the fifth kingdom, supersedes the number four, which designates the human kingdom and the four elemental lives. The way of rising into the five is through a process of pain, at least on our planet, and perhaps in our solar system, because we are in an astro-buddhic solar system, and at the moment our solar logos is undergoing a kind of fourth initiation of a lower sort through our planetary scheme, the fourth scheme, the Earth scheme, whose symbol is the cross. You know, it's kind of interesting that as the planetary logos undergoes its fourth initiation, the solar logos is also experiencing a kind of fourth initiation through the planetary logos's fourth initiation. This is, in a way, there's a faint analogy here of the Christ taking the first initiation every time a new aspirant to the mysteries takes the first initiation. He takes it, the Christ takes it through and with the one who is taking it. Okay, now these are deep matters, and you know, much will have to be left for further research. This now we're coming back to the first of the sixth hierarchy. It has for its type of energy the first aspect, so that's the plane it's on, of the sixth type, and that's the number of the hierarchy, if we number from above, of cosmic electricity, and wields special power, therefore, in conjunction with the lower fire, or fire by friction, as it makes itself felt on the sixth plane. So what the Tibetan has just done is he has drawn a connection between this first creative hierarchy wielding the sixth type of cosmic electricity, but according to numerical resonance, we will have to go down to the sixth plane where the lunar lords are focused, and focused especially in the energy of fire by friction, Mars being the particular energy of fire by friction. I think we have an interesting relationship here between the first creative hierarchy and the sixth, and I think it's a relationship between Vulcan, veiled by the sun, and Mars. Vulcan is will, and Mars is desire. Vulcan is Vulcane, and Mars is Abel, and Cain, or will, always kills Abel. So there is a connection here of the of this great solar hierarchy with a hierarchy which has much to do with the solar plexus and with Mars, which rules the solar plexus of man. And Parashakti, the supreme energy, certainly is invocative of Kundalini Shakti, which is associated with these lunar lords. So the relationship of 1 to 6 is being described for us. Okay. Whoop. All right. So let's repeat this. The first or sixth hierarchy has for its type of energy the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity, and this is being called in our tabulation Parashakti, the supreme energy, at least supreme in relation to the cosmic physical plane. And the sea of fire, we are being told, on the first plane, has a special relation to the astral sea, to the astral light, and to the fire of desire provided by Mars on the sixth level. So it wields special power in conjunction with the lowest fire, or fire by friction, as it makes itself felt on the sixth plane. These lives, he tells us, now this is interesting because the tabulation doesn't give this to us. He says these lives are called the burning suns of desire and were suns of necessity. They had to incarnate. That's generally what the term son of necessity means, an inevitable incarnation. But look at this term, the burning suns of desire. If we look at the if we look at the names associated, either there's a mistake here, or DK is telling us more about the similarity between the second group and the first group. The divine builders conferring soul are also called burning sons of desire. Is this title put in the wrong place? Because he most definitely tells us that the first or the sixth creative hierarchy are called burning suns of desire. And I imagine that they burn with a kind of desire which is meant to take them eventually onto the plane of cosmic desire. So they, let us say, burn to be liberated onto the cosmic astral plane, but stimulate a burning on the systemic, S-Y-S-T, systemic astral plane, they stimulate a burning on the systemic astral plane, which leads to aspiration towards the soul. It is said of these lives, in the old commentary, they burned to know. They rushed into the spheres. They are the longing of the father for the mother. Hence do they suffer, burn, and long through the sixth sphere of sense. Now, I think he is talking about the higher hierarchy and not the lunar lords. They make themselves felt on the sixth plane, yes. They are called burning sons of desire. They are sons of necessity. But in a way, from another perspective, although they long for liberation, they also are the power of the father descending towards the mother. They burn to know the mother. They rush into all of the spheres. And remember, planes are spheres, spherical. They are the longing of the father for the mother. So in a way, they initiate a kind of relationship between the cosmic ethers and the cosmic dense levels, or the mother levels. Hence do they suffer, burn, and long through the sixth sphere of sense. In other words, this is their expression through the astral plane, which is the plane of sensation. So they express through the systemic astral plane. They express through the systemic astral plane, which is the sphere of sensation. So there is a kind of cosmic desire which they express, which is a higher correspondence to the kind of desire which is expressed through Mars on the astral plane, on the systemic astral plane. And so they have a kind of resonance with what we call desire, and they probably, to a degree, animate the solar plexus. Well, only a little really is being said about these lives which are out of reach, but in a way, they are on the atomic subplane of the cosmic physical plane. That is the hierarchical plane. That is the plane of causality. That is the plane in which the initiating vibration, i.e. Vulcan, makes its presence felt. That is the plane that attempts to impress with divine purpose all that is in the mind of God, the solar logos, or in the mind, for our purposes, of God, Sanat Kumara. Well, I'm only too aware that there are many things to be researched here, and certainly we want to find out whether the burning sons of desire applies to the second of the manifested creative hierarchies, or to the first of the manifested creative hierarchies, or to both of them. But let's just say that they are kind of a divine prototype. They represent a liberated state for the monad. The monad is free of its monadic vehicle when in the presence of this Leonian hierarchy. And so experience is probably the bliss of solar logoic identity for the first time. At the seventh initiation, excuse me, we are told that our planetary logos is the initiator at that time, not Sanat Kumara per se, and not that unusual but unnamed existence that initiates at the sixth, but the planetary logos himself at the seventh. And when he initiates at the seventh, he is giving the transfiguration initiation in terms of Sirius, and he's giving mastership in terms of the solar initiations. So there is a kind of liberation into the sun. It's a very solar initiation. It's a dual initiation of love and wisdom, we are told. So there is a liberation of the monad into the love, wisdom, nature of the sun at this seventh initiation, and perhaps these burning suns of desire, these hierarchies that work on this particular plane, are particularly involved in that initiation, or at least in some way related. Okay, where are we now? We have been dealing with lives which are tremendous in their stature, far beyond the monad, of far greater development than the monad. And so if we, you know, we are reduced to a degree to speculation, hopefully reasonably reasoned speculation. Now we continue with hierarchy number two. How are they described here? The divine builders conferring soul. They're also called burning suns of desire, unless that particular statement is located in the wrong place. They are related to Virgo, to the planet Jupiter, to the color blue, to Kriya Shakti, materializing the ideal. They are connected with ether, or what is sometimes called aether. They relate to the monadic plane. Their numbers are 7, 2, and 6, which I think are very Jupiterian numbers. Now, you know, these are hints. These are hints. Hierarchy 2 is closely allied with the Great Bear. Now, we wonder why Hierarchy 1, which is Leonian in its nature, will not be also allied with the Great Bear. But here, of course, the Great Bear gives us those stars which are the prototypes of the seven heavenly men with which the different monads are associated. So there's a monadic link here from the Great Bear to the planetary logoi to the human monad. There is a connection. I'm thinking here there is Aries, Libra in relation to the Great Bear. And I'm thinking of the second creative hierarchy, which is the liberated variety being ruled by Aries. Wherever we find Aries, we have to look for a connection to the Great Bear. The Great Bear is providing the will aspect of the seven rays, and it provides that sense of monadic identity, which we can associate with both Aries and Leo. Of course, in some mythologies, the Great Bear is the Great Mother Bear and represents a huge mother force, which would correlate with the Divine Mother or Virgo, which is the sign which rules this particular level, this particular hierarchy. We are told that they entered through the second ventricle within the Sacred Heart. Now that's very interesting because the Sacred Heart can be one of those heart centers which is found on the monadic plane. The second ventricle is pumping oxygenated blood to the rest of the body, I do believe. I'll have to research that. I did some research on this, and it's in my Cosmic Fire commentaries with various pictures of the heart, but I cannot go searching for that at the moment. I believe that oxygenated blood is pumped to the rest of the body through this second ventricle, the living force. I will research that further to make sure I am correct. They enter through the second ventricle within the Sacred Heart. See, what is the Sacred Heart? This is obviously symbolic. But there, if this particular chart is correct, and we see here that for the human being, heart centers are found on the second ether, here as well, the second ether of the etheric physical plane, the second ether of the emotional plane, then in a sense, a greater heart center should be found on the second cosmic ether, which is the monadic plane. Okay. So, is the Sacred Heart the heart, the subjective heart, the heart of the sun on the cosmic mental plane, or is it an etheric heart center for the solar logos, correlating, therefore, with the monadic plane? That would seem reasonable. And they are, as we are told in the Secret Doctrine, the prototypes of the monads. They are the source of monadic life, but they are not, at least the human monads, they are far higher. Obviously, they are monads. But monads come out of monads. And when we look at the following picture, if I can find that, let's see, that's not the one, this is the one, yes. When we look at this, it should be called cosmic parabrahm. Let's see if we can find that. Okay. If we can find cosmic parabrahm. There it is. All right, the very one. Okay. What I basically am saying is that monads come out of monads. There are greater monads, and there is something called by Master Moria the divisibility of the spirit. It's not a real divisibility, but it's an apparent divisibility. And let us say that each one of these lives is a monad, they split into seven. And each of the seven split into seven more, and so on and so on and so forth. So these lives are a higher type of monad, out of which our monads emanate. Of course, in a way, I dealt with this problem in my Infinity book. Do our monads, per se, exist in some sense at the very beginning of cosmos as parts or aspects of the one great monad? And are there emanations which come forth from that one great monad eventually breaking out in emanation until we have what we call the human monad after many emanative cycles? This is the question. But monads can only come from greater monads, and those greater monads from still greater monads, and so forth, until we discover it is all one monad in multiple, multifarious expression. So, if these are prototypes of the monads, the question is, do they in a way emanate the human monad? Now, at one point I used to think, you know, perhaps these are actually the planetary logoi, because we are said to be cells within the planetary logos. Our monads are said to be cells within the planetary logos. So, could this be the hierarchy of planetary logoi? But it didn't seem to hold water, because these lives achieved in the previous solar system, whereas the planetary logoi have been have been types of planetary logoi with our solar logos for a very long time. And long, long, long ago, many Mahakalpas ago, they were as masters of the wisdom are now. So the degree of development did not seem proportional. So we have to investigate what we mean by prototypes of the monads. They can be creative hierarchies, which in a way provide the vehicular nature for the human monad. That is one possibility. The question is the human monad pre-existing its existence upon the cosmic physical plane? So, prototypes of the monads, we have two possibilities here: a greater monad subdividing and emanating a lesser monad, and we also have the possibility of these divine builders creating the temple of Ezekiel, which is the vehicle for the monad. Okay, I'm just quite sure that we are out of time, and we certainly are. Okay, it is here that we will stop for the moment. We're into some very heavy stuff here. This is the Esoteric Astrology Adventure 18, although it's really a lot more like cosmology at the moment. But we'll get down to Earth before long, 30 June 11. And have we actually gone through one page? Maybe, what page are we on here? We should be on page at least something. We're on page 39. We have moved from page 38 to 39. Great progress. All right, friends. Now we will together do our great invocation. And there it is. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, everyone. And we will continue with number 19. And we will continue with the discussion of the prototypes of the monads as the builders of the monadic vehicle, just the way probably the third creative hierarchy, the triple flowers, are building the triadic fields. But that term prototype does make us question the idea of monadic emanation. We are told that there is a great history to the monad which is not revealed, and we want to know whether that monad is working in aggregation with other monads with which it shares the sense of oneself, or whether it has split out, as it were, apparently into the human monad, which after all is but one monad. Those are the things that have been on my mind for quite a number of years, but I suppose that when we have that unity of monadic experience, monadic awareness, all sense of separation will disappear, and no, if there's no my soul, thy soul, there's certainly no my monad, thy monad. All right, everybody, this is a little bit longer, running over a little more than an hour, but we're pretty close. So we will be seeing you for Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 19, continuing with the second manifested creative hierarchy.